Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Building My Legacy podcast. I have with me today Donna Cerdula. She is CEO of Vision Board Media, and she does a lot of interesting work with executives, with people in positions of leadership management that are really looking at branding themselves, branding their business, and not only themselves, but their team. So, Donna, to get started, just tell the audience a little bit about what got you started in what you're doing, what your background is that got you into this, and then we're going to have a really fun discussion because you have some fascinating experience.
Oh, thank you so much, Lois, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I got started down the LinkedIn path back in 2005. Do you remember when you joined LinkedIn?
Oh boy, I don't. But I remember, you know, years and years ago, long before I ever really used it, somebody said, you have to get a LinkedIn page, you got to get your picture up there, and you've got to have a profile. Yeah. And I think for years, that's all I did.
Yeah, well, I remember joining because I was promised like opportunities and leads and all this other wonderful stuff. And I remember joining back then and, you know, putting up my profile and it looked like a resume. So I copied and pasted my resume and nothing happened. It just seemed like this huge waste of time. Well, you know, it was like, I don't know, a few months, a few years later, you know, in hindsight, it's so hard to really nail it down, but I'd gotten, I changed positions, changed companies, and I was in a, real dog eat dog, high pressured, sales role. And, you know, I was selling and really, you know, trying to build that book of business, you know, trying to meet my quota. And that's when LinkedIn started coming back into the fray. And where it really started to happen for me was I was cold calling. And as I was cold calling, I would quickly type in the person's name because I wanted to see who I was talking to. And I would always see their profile, and the profile always was, it looked like a copy and paste of the resume. It was dry. It was dull. It was out of date. It didn't tell me what I wanted to know about the person. I was looking for connection points, right? I was looking for commonality. I was looking at, I wanted to know who they were, and it never told me exactly who they were. And I remember that one day when I had this thought, like, if I'm looking at them, they're looking at me, and what do they see? And I looked at my profile and it was just like theirs. It was just that old, dull, dry, out of date, boring resume. And that was when I had this, like, it was an epiphany of, this is not my online resume because I'm not looking for a job. Even if I was looking for a job, do I want to give everybody in the world my resume? No, right? This is my chance to tell my story. This is my chance to be human. This is my chance to really show my value and articulate, you know, my brand and who I am and what I'm trying to accomplish. Boom. Like that was huge because it's your digital introduction. It's your first impression. Let's be honest. People are looking, and they were looking back then, and they're looking now, and they're looking now more than they were ever looking back then because people want to know who they're doing business with.
But, you know, that's so true. And right now you go to meetings and people just say, what's your LinkedIn profile? I just want to copy that.
Yeah.
That's your business card.
You don't even see the business cards anymore. It's the QR code from your LinkedIn profile. It's so, it really has become your true calling card. You know, it's who you are. It's so when I had that realization, I changed everything. I mean, I use this to really cement my purpose and give my audience a vision of not just the vision. It wasn't just what I wanted to say. It was, what do they need to know? to feel good about me, to want me to come to their office and help them with their, you know, at that time I was selling a software solution. So, you know, it was very, very strategic. But at that point, everything changed. I mean, doing that simple thing made a huge difference in that position. And my sales went through the roof. I was forging relationships. I was forging a rapport. It was in 2009 that I realized I've got to go off. I need to tell more people about this. This is important. This is huge. And that's when I started LinkedInMakeover.com. It was just me. My family thought I was nuts. Thought I was insane. Half of them were like, why? Like, why this social, like, what is social networks? The other half, they thought I was talking about Abraham Lincoln. So they were really confused. But regardless, within 2 years, I had brought on two writers. I now have over 20 writers working with me. Over the years, we've worked on more over 6,000 profiles for executives, entrepreneurs, professionals, companies, just globally. I've written a For Dummies book on the topic. I speak all over the country. This topic isn't growing old. It's a topic that I think is getting more and more important. And it's helping people because one, no one wants to write about themselves. It's hard to write about yourself. And you really need guidance. You need someone who can help you articulate your story and tell it in a way that really conveys the nuance, but is also done strategically, right? Because it's not just what you want to say. Really, we need to be strategic. We need to think about your target audience. We need to think about, you know, what they need to know, what you want them to know. So there's so much more that goes into it than I think a lot of people realize.
So Donna, tell me, when you look at connections, I mean, I think that's also where people struggle is what's a connection? Because what you're looking at is that human connectedness. And LinkedIn talks about connections. And I think people just simply are confused.
Yeah. And it doesn't help the matter that they've also introduced followers into the mix. So now you have connections and you have followers. What's the difference? What does this mean? And truthfully, Lois, your connections will make or break your success on the platform. It's really that simple. I mean, you can have a fabulous looking profile, but if you simply don't have enough or the right connections, you're just screaming in a black hole. So this is a really important point. So what is it, you know, what is a connection versus a follower? A connection is someone has put forth an invite to another person, right? So I invite you or you invite me. It doesn't matter, but we get that chance to say, yes, I invite you into my network. And when you come into my network, it's not just you. It's all your first degree connections. They come into my network as a second degree. And all of those first degree network people to you, their first degree network comes, right? So I now am getting your first degree as my second and your second as my third. Does that make sense? So it's when you accept a person in, you're not just accepting them, you're accepting their first degree and their second degree connections, which is huge. So you want to make sure that you're connecting with the right people, but you also want to make sure that when you're connecting with a person, you're not just dismissing them because maybe someone in their first or second degree network, you know, could be useful or helpful. I also think it's important to say a lot of times you might get a connection And it's okay to say no. It's absolutely, and I think we probably should be saying no more than we're saying yes, depending upon just the sheer amount of invites you're getting. Because there are a lot of bots that do like to automate that process. And there's a lot of, you know, garbage in that regard. But with that said, you know, if a person wants to connect with you, don't just immediately say, they offer me nothing. Maybe you offer them something. Or maybe someone in their network is someone that really needs to know you. And by that interaction with you and them, your message is going to travel further and farther.
Right.
Which then takes us to followers. You know, what is a follower? Like, what's the difference between that and a connection? It's a one-way street. So the connection is a two-way street where I'm now subscribed to you and you're subscribed to me. A follower is I'm just subscribed to you. If I'm following you, I'm getting your updates, but you're not getting mine. And there's no approval needed. You just hit follow and boom, now I'm subscribing. And following has more to do with that activity, those posts and articles that you're putting forth on the LinkedIn feed. Whereas with the connection, that's you're part of my network. And when you search LinkedIn, what are those search results comprised of? Your first, your second, your third degree connections.
I want to talk a little bit about that because I think sometimes in the corporate world, people are afraid of LinkedIn. They don't know how to use it effectively. And you've got a whole process of working with top leadership in major companies on what to do with LinkedIn. Why is it important to them? So talk about that, please.
You know, it's important at a couple different levels, right? So, you know, right now, executive branding is important. You know, there was that whole, you know, publish or perish was sort of like this academic mantra. It's now right there with the executives. Like you have to be forthright. You have to be out loud in your leadership. You want to get noticed and you want people to hear because people want to know, what does the leadership team think and what do they have to say and what's going on? We need that. There is this need for that communication, and LinkedIn is a fabulous platform to have that, to have your brand, to have your profile, to showcase your career, to showcase all of those accomplishments, but also as a platform for you to communicate and educate. So at the individual level, that's where the value is. But then you have to move back and look at the entire organization. And I think this is something that very few executives are doing, where they need to take a look and give a true blue audit of how that company is showing up on LinkedIn. Because now it's no longer just your profile on LinkedIn. It's your employees. It's your leadership team. And how do they look? Have they done what probably a good 90% of the people on LinkedIn have done, which is copied and pasted a dry, dull, outdated resume? And if they did, is that the message that you want to be communicating as a company? You know, oftentimes I'll talk to an executive and he'll say, or she'll say, you know, we're really having a hard time recruiting. You know, we're just the rock stars that we want to bring in aren't resonating to us. Well, let's look at that team that you're recruiting. You know, you're bringing people in. Isn't it funny that everyone looks like they're looking to leave? Right? How are they positioned? And do they have that company message? You know, are they talking about the culture and the company brand? Probably not. And so, you know, it's now not just you as that executive, but looking at the team, looking at the company and seeing what is being communicated out, and then giving them the tools to either do it themselves or bringing someone on to help them do it in a manner that works and is authentic to the individual, right? Because we don't want to lose that. That uniqueness is an asset. But can we do it in a manner where it's there, it's polished, it's professional, And there is the company. We weave in that company message as well.
You know, I think in today's world, we were talking about this a little bit before we started the podcast. And in today's world where we have so many pressures on companies and employees are often disengaged from what's going on, they're unsure, you know, what is really happening in my company? And so, but the message gets out somehow, right? Mm-hmm. And I liked what you said about doing an audit, because that seems like A, a lot of work. B, most people don't know how to do that. And C, then once you have the information, what do you do with it? So yeah. Tell me, how do you help a company? Let's say a CEO says, I want to make sure that we've got an aligned message amongst our leadership team. Where do you start? How do you do it?
Yeah. And it's hard, right? It really is hard. You know, when a company comes and says, let's work together, you know, help us out. We always do a discovery call, and we make sure that there is a stakeholder who understands the official messaging, right? Because every employee has a different interpretation, a different translation of what that brand is, what the messaging is, what the story is. So it's really important for us to understand what is the true blue official brand story. You know, what is it? We need to know that. And from there, we want to make sure that we understand how that translates specifically to LinkedIn. Right? Because with LinkedIn, that's one platform and there is a very specific audience hitting it. And so how we talk about things in the LinkedIn world may be totally different than you do on the website or how you do on TikTok or Instagram. So it's really important to say, okay, strategically, how do we splice this within the LinkedIn realm? That's important. It's also important to understand the different people who are going through the process and what is the goal of LinkedIn? Because for some people, it might be recruitment. For others, it might be branding. For others, it might be reputation management. And for others, it might be prospecting and sales, right? And you had talked about an aligned message, and that the misalignment is what I see all the time, where there is a sales team and their profiles talk about how they're great at prospecting and closing and, you know, asking for the dollar, the money, the check. And that's a misaligned message, because they're looking to get clients. And those prospects will turn off when they read that.
A recruiter
would love it. A recruiter would like it. Let me hire you. So it really is working to make sure that the profile is aligned to the audience and to the goal.
So does that raise ethical issues, Donna, about who owns, in a sense, this LinkedIn page that you have? Because if they come, you know, because I can see an employee creating this message, as you say, here are my results, et cetera, because they want the recruiter to notice them. On the other hand, the company wants a more of a branded message, one that services the customer or the employee. So what are the ethics with that? Does anybody ask about that?
Oh, yeah. And you're absolutely correct. This is very important. And it's something that needs to be absolutely considered. You know, I am not of the mindset that you say to an employee, just copy and paste this on top of what you have. That's not the way to go. The better way to go is to say, how can we help you? How can we give you content to make this easier for you? Right? How can we get you, let's get you introduced to a writer who can work with you to make sure that you're explaining yourself and your value in a manner that works, that's true, that's clear. But at the same time, we want that individual. Because that individual, that uniqueness is the company's asset, right? It's an asset to the company. So we want that there. But at the same time, you know, there is the company description. There is the, you know, the experience and that information. How can we help you say this in a manner that's going to help you be more successful? And being more successful, I don't think most employees are looking to run. I think they want to be as successful as they can where they are currently. So let's help you do that.
Yeah, they want to be validated and appreciated, don't they? I mean, I think that's one of the things.
I'm so sorry. I was going to say.
Go ahead.
There is something about helping a person tell their story that is very empowering. And it gives them a sense of value and belonging and empowerment. And it's how you broach it and how you deliver it. But what we see, you know, when we work with, now there's an employee who's like, I don't want you touching my profile. It's my profile and no one can come in here. And that's fine. You know, hey, you do your thing. There's nothing wrong. But most of the employees that we work with, they are grateful. They are thankful. They don't want to write about themselves. They know their profile is terrible. They're happy. You know, they're excited. They learn how to use it. And they learn to use it. Again, so many people approach LinkedIn like it's just for job search. But it's not. It's for relationships. It's for connections. It's to educate. It's to add value. You know, it's to find partnerships and vendors and service providers. It's a way of validating relationships. There's so much. And I think so many people just, they always, oh, well, when I'm looking for a job, I'll get on it. And that's maybe, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that was the going advice, but it's different now.
You know, it's true. One of the first things I do is look at what people have posted when I look at their profile, right? It's not only what they've written about themselves, but it's also what do they post about? Because it tells you a lot about them and what is important to them.
Yeah. You know, and I often hear, you know, people say things like, And I'm not in any way making light of this, but I often hear about age discrimination.
Oh,
and you know, oh, I'm going to be pigeonholed. Oh, and I really believe a lot of it has to do with, are you reflecting your relevance? Are you showcasing that you are technical and you've kept up with it and you have something to say and you're providing, you know, insight? And a lot of times when I look at these profiles, there's no activity. There is nothing that showcases where they've been and what they've done and what they've learned and why they're doing it. It's just a blank slate with no activity. And of course, a person's going to look at that and go, there's nothing here. But, you know, contrast that with a profile. And who cares what the person's age is? Right. But the person is vibrant and they're providing information and they're adding that value and they're educating and they're showing their insight. They're showing their knowledge and they're interacting and a part of that community, a part of that industry. Doesn't matter if they're, you know, 18 or 85, like that's what we want within our organization.
Right. We do. We want a lot of vibrancy and we look for it. And I know that when I look at somebody and I see that maybe it's been a year since they posted last, for sometimes it's even more than that. Maybe they haven't posted since they put their profile up years ago, you know, like I first did. And then you go, well, okay, it's not going to be very easy to connect with this person, right? If they don't visit and don't engage, you know that a connection is probably a waste of your time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. Another reason why paying for LinkedIn is a fabulous thing, because it gives you that little gold LinkedIn icon next to your name. And as soon as a person sees, oh, there's that gold icon, they're paying for it, they're taking it seriously, I can absolutely message them and I know I'm going to get a response.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought of the gold label in that way, but that's true, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a very easy way to demonstrate your seriousness of the platform.
Wow. So tell me tips that you have for people as they look at their LinkedIn. What are some top, let's say, three things that people should absolutely do?
Yeah. You know, when I think of the LinkedIn profile, a lot of people want to be found for search, right? They want to be discovered on LinkedIn because that's where opportunity, you know, is. And so
there's something magical about being discovered anyway, isn't it? It's like seeing Cinderella at a ball.
That's exactly it. It's like everyone feels like there's opportunity out there, and I want it just placed at my feet. How? And it can happen on LinkedIn, but you have to be very strategic, and you need to say to yourself, what is the opportunity that you want? You know, for an executive, it doesn't necessarily need to be, a job opportunity. Maybe it's a board position. Maybe it's sitting on a panel. Maybe it's being invited to a conference. Maybe it's an interview with someone from the New York Times, right? Maybe it's an opportunity to deliver a keynote. You know, it doesn't, like, again, take the brain away from job search, but figure out what you want to be found for. Like, what would be that beautiful, big, keeping spoonful of opportunity? What does that look like? Think of what it is. And then if a person had that and they wanted to offer it to someone like you, what would be those words that they'd be typing into LinkedIn trying to find that candidate, that person? Is it keynote? Is it media inquiry? Is it, panel? Is it whatever it is? You know, figure out what those words are. Like, what is your area of expertise? What do you know better than anybody else? Once you have those keywords, you want to make sure, and I'm not in any way saying that you're going to list it obnoxiously, repetitively, ad nauseum through the profile. I'm not going to say that, but know what those words are and make sure that as you create the narrative of your profile and you're telling that story, that you are strategically utilizing those words contextually in the narrative, right? So you're adding, you're bringing them in, you're putting them in there, and you're talking, you're using those words as you write that narrative. All right.
Because that makes you searchable. People can find you. That's great advice.
There's a lot of other things that come into play. All right. I don't want to, it's not like, the old days of, the Alta Vista on Hotbot search engine, where all you had to do is say that keyword, one more time than your nearest competitor and you'd bounce up. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot more algorithm, but in the same way, if those words don't exist in your profile in any way, shape, or form, you're never going to pop up in those search results. So you do need to be clear as to what those opportunities, what they are and how you want to get found and what those words are that would convey your relevance in those subjects.
I love that because we get so lost on so many little details, right? And you think that it's magical. If I just do X, magic is going to happen. But it doesn't quite work that way. Yes, you need to have it there, but there's other things too that are so important. So that's one. What else do you think that people should absolutely do?
I would make sure that the headline is something that's impressive, it's engaging, it's infused with those keywords, the most important ones, because the headline is one of the most sensitive fields of the entire LinkedIn profile for search. And it's also, it doesn't just stay at the top of your profile. It actually moves throughout LinkedIn. So every little bit of activity that you do, it's your picture, it's your name, it's that headline.
Well,
and so, yeah. So if you have a headline that is truly engaging, it's not overly salesy, turns people off, but it has those credibility markers. It contains the keywords. It gives a sense of who you are. It's almost like a personal tagline. You have that, you're going to find that as people see you bounce around the platform, they're going, "Ooh, let me click. I want to learn more. That's interesting." Same thing with the search results. When you pop up in those search results, that tagline, that headline should be competitive, right? They're almost absolutely competitive because you want to compete with the people above and below you.
Right.
You want that person to click on your profile versus anyone else's. So the headline, and if you visit my website, linkedin-makeover.com, did I say that too fast? linkedin-makeover.com, and you go to free tools, I've got a LinkedIn headline generator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a free app. It's a free app, but it automates it, and it makes it easy, because I mean, I threw a lot at you. Like, where do you start? How do you do it? Don't worry. You go to the app, click, click, click. It's almost like the old Mad Libs. Do you remember those Mad Libs back in the day? Same kind of idea, you know, fill in the description, fill in the noun, the adjective, and boom, you're going to have something that's really fascinating and great. So that would be two. One is really think about those keywords. Two, have that great headline. Three, oh my goodness. They're like, the imagery is important, a great background image, a great profile picture. I feel it's, you know, at this point in time, I think people understand the importance of it. So I'm not going to say that. I would go down to the about section and the experiences and tell that story. You know, be transparent, be authentic. You know, don't just tell, but show through the stories that you're telling, you know, where you've been and what you've done and why you do it and how it helps and all of that good stuff. People do care, you know, and the further down they go, the more qualified they become. So, you know, and the more that you write, the more chance of you using those keywords. So the more optimized it is. And if you think of LinkedIn, they live and die by the quality of those search results. So between your profile that's been thoughtfully constructed versus one that was barely filled out, which one's going to pop to the top? You know? So it's one of those things where you really want to think about how you want to be seen, how you want to control how others perceive you. And you want to write to that. And it's hard. And I know it's hard. I have my Four Dummies book on the topic. I've got courses on my website, but it's also something that you can totally outsource. You know, it's when I say totally outsource, you're a part of the process because we need to talk and understand, you know, to really thoughtfully translate and convey your message in a manner that is authentic and real and strategic. But it's not something that you have to necessarily write it all yourself. You can have us do that for you. And you mentioned, you know, in terms of the final thing, it is that activity, you know, it is the activity. And I would say, you know, look at LinkedIn and recognize that this is a place where you can help others, right? It's mm-hmm. not just like, oh, that person can't help me. And, you know, I need this and I need that. Like, instead, go on it with more of a giving type of attitude where I want to communicate. I want to educate. I want to add value. I want to inspire. I want to help people. You know, that I think is a far better mindset to have. And if you do that consistently, it's amazing what it brings back to you.
It is amazing, isn't it? Yeah. I think in today's world, that sense of giving has to be there, because I know when the first thing somebody does is just try and sell me something, you know, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm not going to connect with that person because I want a relationship, not a salesperson.
Yeah. It's so true. And there's nothing worse, you know, when you look through those connection requests and someone looks like, you almost validate them and like, yeah, that person looks good. And you accept them in like clockwork, like 3, 2, 1, there's a message. Yes. And the message is, would you like lead generation tactics or whatever it might be? And then you get that sour, you know, taste in your mouth. And it's like, oh, I was wrong. And this person's not real. And, you know, and it happens. It happens to me. But I really don't think that sales is purely a numbers game. You know, I think you can be on LinkedIn and I think you can use it in a manner that supports your prospecting and gets you to where you want to be in terms of your numbers. But I think you can do it in a manner that's not obnoxious or disgusting. On the flip side, you know, for executives, I think it's a place where you can absolutely use it, you know, to do good and to communicate and to be seen in a manner where it feels very natural and genuine and real.
I think that's the gift of COVID in a way. It opened up platforms like LinkedIn to what the possibilities were.
Yeah.
Because you were right when you first started talking and you said, you know, so many people view it as a place to put their resume to get seen for a job. But it one of the things I discovered during COVID was how many relationships you could actually build and create just by having conversations with people.
Yeah. And people are hungry. I think they're really hungry for true connection. And if you can show up and be human and relate, you're going to find some very, very fulfilling relationships out there.
So be yourself, be relatable, and have conversations. You know, Donna, our time is almost up. What have we missed that we absolutely should have covered or didn't cover well?
We covered quite a bit, Lois, in a very short period of time. You know, I think I'm going to become a little selfish at this point, and I'm just simply going to say, if any part of this conversation, you know, resonated with you and vibrationally, it was like, I need to learn more. My website, linkedin-makeover.com, has so much free resources, reading material, items that can really help you see the potential and really learn how to use it, whether it's an individual type of situation where it's like, I need the help, or it's a situation where it's like, my company needs help on how to better optimize and manage this process.
And I would suggest to those of you who are listening, who have a company with employees, large companies with many employees, that are worried about your branding and the message that really gets out, especially in today's world where we're all worried about talent retention. What is the message that you're really communicating? What is it that your various levels of leadership are communicating? And it may well be worth your time to have somebody like Donna do an audit and really give you some advice on what would allow you to put your best foot forward. So I encourage you, go to Donna's website. And again, Donna, if you would give that to the audience.
Sure. It's linkedin-makeover.com.
Okay. There you go. linkedin-makeover.com. So please go visit her website. And if you have any problems, let us know. We'll be glad to connect you with Donna. So on that, Donna, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Lois, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
You are so welcome. And for those of you who are listening to Building My Legacy podcast today, thank you for being with us. Remember, go visit Donna's website. You will be very much blessed for having done so. And thank you for being with us. Visit our website at buildtomorrow.com with the number 2. And our newest website, startwithcollaboration.com. So again, Donna, thank you.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.